Somehow, just along with the worst fears of our founding fathers, our federal government has morphed from our collective wishes and serving the American people to its own institution that serves its own needs and really at the end is seeking to destroy and hates American citizens. Now, that's a strong statement, Bill. How do you say that? Well, I'm going to show you that, how, at least in the real estate space, the government is actually working against the betterment of what's best for the American people. I'm Bill Gross. This is at Bill Gross Probase, my social media, and this is my weekly real estate market update. So before we get into the specifics of the case I make, let's take a look at the market update so we know where we are as far as numbers and can determine where we're headed and why. So one of the key things in an economy always, the two key things, are supply and demand. Supply and how many homes there are for sale or inventory, and demand is really affected by interest rates. Well, let's take a look at interest rates. And this week, we had a big bump up in interest rates. Oops, I got the wrong sharing thing going on here. So we got a real big bump up in interest rates, where for a while, we've been stuck between 6.97 and 7%. We bumped up over 0.25% to 7.31 at the end of the week. Now, that's still in the range of where we've been for the last year, though the highest, really, since the highest of the year so far. And while it's not enough to really stop the market or cause a turnaround, it doesn't take some of the steam out of the market. And take a look. We need to watch closely the next couple of weeks to see its actual effects. Now, does that mean rates are going up? It doesn't mean that. It might not. But they have, certainly have jumped up about 0.25%. If you have a rate lock pending on a purchase, get it locked in, or if you thought it was locked in, get it closed. And the selling side, if your buyer has a rate lock, make sure you comply and get these things done because these old rates will expire and the new rates won't be available. It'll be a penalty paid. So this portends a slight lessening of the demand for real estate. Not a disaster, but not a good thing for sure if you're looking to see the economy increase. Now, on the inventory side, inventory still is slightly above last year, which is still well below the all-time record for non-pandemic years. The only years better than last year were the 3 years of the pandemic. Last year was kind of affected by it. So we're still tracking at near all-time lows. Our inventory today at 485,000 units for sale is still about half or 60% of the more traditional 763 or 800,000 on a normal year. So overall, even with higher rates, there's not enough inventory for housing prices to crash, and so it can stop the increase. Now, it's interesting. We've had so many predictions of rates increasing of the housing prices. We'll talk about why here in a little bit. Okay, here, but real estate is very local. Here in Los Angeles, and again, this is a statistic that trails. Altos Research shows LA getting a little tighter for the sellers, getting more of a seller market at 41 from a 40. It's been in the range of 41, 40 for a while. And so it's a little more of a seller's market. But again, this is backwards looking data. The fact that rates went up might cause that number to drip back down again. So pay attention to that. That's why we watch the numbers every week, because real estate does move pretty quickly. Okay, so real estate news. If you follow my website, you know that I often take to task real estate news for giving bad advice. So I want to pass out a good advice award. Kiplinger actually had a good news article, 6 benefits of setting up a trust for your assets. I tell everybody in California, if you buy a house, if you're not buying an LLC or you're not buying it in the name of some kind of company or entity, you should be putting it into some sort of a trust. Now, I'm not giving legal advice, I'm giving business advice, because I see so many people who buy property personally and either are incapacitated, pass away, litigation. There's no reason not to look at that. And I have a podcast every week, Probate Weekly, where I interview attorneys across the country that talk about, among other things, estate planning. But Kiplinger gives a great article, definitely worth your while to look at. You can click on it on the email version here. It talks about how to distribute wealth better, keep your assets out of probate, which I think is really what I would focus on, help you make the decisions to have the court making decisions. I tell people that if you don't have a plan for after you pass or after you're incapacitated, the state of California has one for you, and it's not good. It looks a lot like the DMV, which nobody thinks the DMV's plan is going to be very good. Okay, now let's go back to the normal market, which is the real estate industry giving the real estate news industry giving bad information. Here's a real loser from Yahoo Finance, who almost always is, I think, on the wrong side of information because they are part of the conspiracy against consumers. And here we have Josephine Nesbitt, one of the bright, sharp knives in the drawer. The housing market, how to sell your home without a real estate agent. And more importantly, now that would be interesting on its own, and save money. Now, this article would be a great way to say, before you decide to start selling on your own, here's the things you need to do and make a decision whether to do that or not. But and save money, now I do know that editors make the, there's editors for headlines separate from the writers. I doubt the writer chose that add-on piece because there's nothing in the article that shows you how to do it on your own and save money. Almost always when I see homes sold by sellers, either they don't sell or they get frustrated and take a low offer and actually lose money. Why is that? Because buyers, when they see a property off market, assume there's no agent involved. They know the seller's saving money. They want that money in their pocket, number one. Number two, now you're negotiating against the buyers. And if there's a buyer's agent involved or an investor involved, they're going to often be stronger than the seller. Now, that's not always the case. But in my experience, almost always, sellers who on their own seek to sell property do all the work that I do that I get paid for. And on top of that, net no more money and oftentimes lose money. So for example, she tells them that they need to set the listing price right. If you do your research, that's what, why I belong to the MLS, to get the right data. Prepare the home for sale. Know what you need to do. Know what you don't need to do. In my experience, too many sellers spend too much money and time preparing a house rather than just getting it on the market and getting it sold. List and market your home. Well, that's obviously part of the job. Responding to buyers. Here it is Sunday. I've had buyers or buyers agents call me about my listings. You have to be available to do that. That's part of the job. Negotiate. That's part of the job. And then they have hire a real estate attorney. Well, that sounds daunting. That sounds expensive. And so how much do you save? Well, she doesn't even pretend to give you an answer. She just says, well, attorneys can vary, but like a flat fee or an hourly charge. Okay. But this is an article that doesn't even pretend to tell you that you'll really save money. It might end up costing you money. It doesn't even make an attempt to say it won't cost you a lot of money. And you end up doing a job that real estate agents do. If you don't save money, then what are you doing it for? You're paying yourself, but losing money on the transaction. It doesn't make any sense. So again, this is a typical real estate article. Empower the buyer, the seller, make them feel strong, but really leaves them to take on their own a big job with a lot of legal liability that most importantly, they may or may not save any money on. Okay, next under bad articles, here is the classic Redfin, really one of the worst purveyors of information on marketplace. Over one quarter of recent home buyers have no idea how much their agent was paid. Now, that sounds bad, right? 28%, it turns out, of the home buyers don't know how much the agent got paid. Well, is that bad? Is that a problem? Do buyers care? Should buyers care? Imagine if you would, a real estate agent got paid $10,000, but helped the buyer get a house they would otherwise not get. Is it worth it? Well, the buyer made the decision it was. They offered at that price and closed escrow at that price. So the commission there might be baked in. Or what if the buyer's agent got paid $10,000, but negotiated down the seller $10,000? Does the buyer care? No. What if they negotiate down $15,000? Does the buyer care? Well, they got a good result. I don't know they care about the commission side. So I think really it makes an interesting point here to stir people up. Agents are bad. You don't know how much you're paying. Let me ask you this. When you bought your last car, how much commission did the car salesperson get? When you bought your last cell phone, how much commission did the cell phone salesman get? Or do you care? Or at the end of the day, do you just care that you get the product or service at the price you agreed to pay for it? If you go to Best Buy and you buy a refrigerator or Home Depot and buy a refrigerator, do you care if the salesman makes any money on it or not? I don't. I want the refrigerator for that price. And I imagine the compensation's baked into the price. So this is the never-ending drama of corporations and our government to attack and destroy real estate agents who overall are small business people who pay taxes. Redfin doesn't make money, so they don't pay taxes. So what they're trying to do is destroy local businesses like mine who pays state and federal taxes, and Redfin lives off of Wall Street money and pays none, and badmouths their industry makes it sound like, well, home buyers don't know how much agents are paid in commission. Well, who cares? Do they care? Do buyers even ask the question? My experience, no. Now, I will say this. There is a buyer-broker agreement, and when we represent buyers, we put it under the commission. We'll say, you know, most commonly, my commission is 2.5%. I'll say that's going to be paid by the seller first. Whatever the seller pays, the cooperating buyer will go to that. Now, if the seller's only paying 2%, the agreement then has to answer the question. Well, does that mean the buyer pays the difference or the agent eats the difference? And there's check boxes to choose that. In my experience, I always tell the buyer, I'll eat the difference because I don't want to pick a property based on the commission and I'm willing to make it up on volume. But by law, we have a buyer-broker agreement that lays that out if the buyer cares. And here's the other point I want to say. Even if you went through those numbers with the buyer and you show them the commission, my experience is at the end of the deal, they don't remember what it was. They remember the house and the price they paid. They don't remember the commission because they really don't care. They want the best deal possible in the house. And as an agent, that's my job to get them to that. So again, I feel like Redfin is just trying to stir it up because Redfin is trying to attack real estate agents as a blood-sucking venture capital company that never pays taxes, federal or state, or very rarely does. They're just destroying the real estate industry. They're helping one agent at a time. And towards that, here's an interesting factoid by Mike Dupre, who's a real estate professor in, I think, Denver, Colorado. Fascinating chart that shows, oops, I got the wrong button there. Consistently over time since 1981, not only have the percentage of transactions of realtors gone up slightly, but steady, meaning it's 89%. The people, despite billions of dollars of Zillow, Opendoor, Redfin, Purple Bricks, every company that sought out investor money to destroy and upend and disrupt the real estate agent business, where hundreds of companies have pretended to be the Amazon of real estate. Here we are, you know, 40 years later, and still most agents use real estate agents, and I would say because we do our job. And if we didn't, they would be with somebody else. If Amazon or Google could sell houses, they'd be doing it. They can't. That's why we are. But again, I think that's just Redfin's kind of way, their little way to mess up the industry that they can't compete in. Okay, so next, another article that I thought was pretty good this week, actually, and this is in MarketWatch, talks about loan modifications. And it says, I couldn't pay my mortgage, so I applied for a loan mod. Now I have a 52-year loan mortgage. Is that normal? The answer is yeah. Usually the loans get extended. In my experience, very few loan mods work out. At best, they work out for the bank in that they delay the foreclosures to time more convenient for the bank. The customer gives up certain legal rights and inevitably can't ever get out from underneath. And in general, they just really never really work out. And I think one of the things I tell customers is, you know, we have in our laws foreclosure on purchase loans with no deficiency. And we have bankruptcy laws meant to protect people to start over again. Virtually every company has, large companies have used it in one form or another. Virtually every mortgage, every large bank has used bankruptcy. Bank of America used it. They used to be NCMB. B of A went bankrupt. They got bought. Wells Fargo isn't Wells Fargo. They went bankrupt. Wachovia, I think, bought them. Citibank is an accumulation of bankruptcies and buyouts. Chase the same way. So I would say that somehow banks have created on consumers a shame of foreclosure and bankruptcy that they don't take on themselves. And that for most people, just cutting bait on a bad mortgage makes more sense than spending another 5 or 10 years in a loan modification that may never work out for you. So this article, I think, is worth reading. And at least if you're in the position, of course, get professional help. I'm glad to walk you through the different options. But I think in general that people should know that it's very rare that these loan mods work out for the consumers. Here's a fascinating piece of information. You know, the geniuses in California, Gavin Newsom included, are going to save our homelessness problem by taking my money and your money and the money of taxpayers, and they're going to spend it on different programs. But a couple of things. One thing I noticed, kind of a throwaway line here by Yahoo Finance again, the homelessness director flees high-cost state after an eviction. And when you scroll down, you discover that the executive director of a group called the Center in Hollywood, his name was Nathan Sheets, he was a director of homelessness. This organization that grosses $5 million, a charity, to help homeless people, he's leaving our state after seeing so many friends leave our state. He couldn't afford to live here on his $96,000 a year salary. So he makes $96,000 a year, and he's facing eviction for the second time in 3 years. And that's who is going to help us solve our homeless problem. I just think, again, it's just a matter of the government, it can't solve these economic problems. They're better off letting us have our money, and then more of us can solve our own problems on our own. The premise I started with today was the federal government hates you. And I think it's subtle, subtle, but certain parts are starting to come out loud. This is an article I saw recently. I want you to kind of dig into it a little bit because it is kind of subtle as to what's really going on here. NPR, which is the National Public Radio, which is really the broadcasting arm of the federal government. So this is the Biden administration. 99% of employees at NPR donate to the Democratic Party. So this is the federal government's administration position. Many FBI agents are struggling to make ends meet. Housing costs are to blame. Yeah, not a bad economy is to blame. Not inflation's to blame. Not we have spent so much money as your government that inflation's gone up, that's hard to own houses. No, housing prices, you know, those bad housing prices are to blame. FBI agents can't afford houses now. Well, it's interesting. FBI agents, the starting salary is probably in the $87,000 to $90,000 a year range. But they quickly get promotions. They quickly get raises and bonuses and this and that. The typical FBI agent is making between $130,000 and $150,000 a year. But that's a government employee. Government employees, whatever they make, you add 50% compared to a normal human being because they have health care that's ridiculous. Nobody can afford. And pensions that are ridiculous. In fact, their pensions and health plans are the type that bankrupted major corporations and are going to end up bankrupting the federal government if we don't pay attention. And so these poor FBI agents can't afford a house. NPR, the government's kind of crying Kool-Aid for these guys. And then here's the kicker of the whole thing. For years, there was a debate. Where should the FBI build their next $3.5 billion headquarters? Now, SoFi Stadium costs $1.5 billion. But somehow the FBI needed a $3.5 billion headquarters. So where do you build it? Do you build it in a place where you create jobs and people can move to and save money and get cheap housing? Do you build it in the Midwest? Do you build it in Arizona? Do you build it in Texas, in Florida? No, no. Let's build it an hour out of Washington, D.C., some of the richest, wealthiest housing in America. And so all his employees are all now fighting for housing in this one area. And, of course, the housing is expensive because the government – and this is part of the program. What governments do – California does the same thing at the state level, is they concentrate all the jobs in one place. They cry about how expensive it is to live there, so they all get high salaries. Then these people have overpriced houses. When they retire, they sell the house in the expensive place and move to a cheaper place, pricing us out. And their salaries, their pensions are based on the last salary, so they move to a cheaper state and can afford to live like kings. And that's why when you find government employees who've retired, they're always very wealthy compared to the average American. I mean, there's no comparison. You find a teacher in California who retires, they live like a king or queen compared to the average American who's retiring through the free market. And this is an example. And here you have NPR crying Kool-Aid tears for the FBI agents. Well, it continues even worse than that. Here is, if you say, well, who's responsible for helping Americans own houses, it'd be the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve's job is to maintain low interest rates and a good economy. Here you have the Fed president. Now, here's a clue. The Federal Reserve, which is basically a government agency, is so political. It has 12 different regions. Each one has a president. They have 12 presidents, not 12 vice presidents. You don't have 12 presidents at Google. You have 12 presidents at Ford Motor Company, but you have 12 presidents at the Federal Reserve. These people are such political hacks. And so you have this guy, Elijah Nulevich, might be a nice guy for all I know. How is it unaffordable for too many Americans and strict regulations mean higher costs? Okay. But how about housing is unaffordable because our dollars, see, housing is high in when it's priced in terms of dollars. But part of why housing appears high is dollars are being devalued as we have inflation year after year after year. People who have houses are protected from inflation. So people who can't buy them because they have dollars that are being devalued while the price of houses goes up. And so here you have the president of the Atlanta Fed. And what's he blame? The problem with people is housing prices. No, housing prices are affected by dollars. His job is to keep dollars affordable for Americans. His job is to help Americans be able to afford to buy houses. Instead of focusing on his job, again, these people, they're all political hacks. All 12 of them are. I don't mean to throw him out. He might be the nicest, most decent man in the world. But at the end of the day, they're not doing their job. They're paid a king's ransom to not do their job. In fact, why? What are they focused on? Well, here's an article on MarketWatch talking about why rates jumped up recently. And if you read it, it tells you, I think the money line, stronger than expected economic data related to the labor market pushed the average rate up. So what's the bad news if you think about rates going up? Bad news is stronger than expected economic data related to the labor market, meaning, according to the Fed, none of people lost their jobs. Too many businesses had good sales report. If only more Americans were suffering economically, rates could go down. That's really a nice, this is a nice way of what they're really saying. The problem with American interest rates, according to our bankers, is not enough middle market Americans are suffering. And if we could just tolerate more suffering in the middle market, political hacks like Fed presidents could continue to get their salaries and hold rates down. That's really what they're saying. And you have to understand, and I don't mean to be mean about it, let's just be truthful about it. That's what they are saying. They're just finding a nice way to say it. So what should you do? Your government is working against you. Your government doesn't even care. They're not even pretending to say, we've got to find some way to make housing more affordable for Americans by helping more people make money and keep it. They would talk about cutting taxes. They'll talk about cutting spending. They'll talk about reducing inflationary pressures. It's those phantom housing prices that are the problem. Well, what do you do? Well, I don't really know. I do know that in California, you have an option. I don't think I could change the world. I don't believe I could change the federal government. But what I can do is stand up and say, this guy's responsible in my state. Gavin Newsom's been the president, the governor here in California. he's been the second term. He was lieutenant governor before that. He ran the largest city, at the time, most beautiful city in California, into the ground before he moved on. And he's up for recall. The petition to recall him got qualified. And now we're in collecting signatures phase again. RescueCalifornia.org, you can download the actual petition. It's hysterical. It's so hard. The petition, when you download it, is so particular. They look at every single signature so carefully. Because to get rid of politicians, they make it very, very hard. But to keep politicians in power, they'll mail ballots to everybody and not check any of those signatures. And there's a clue that you're being cheated. So do something. Now, if not this, tell me what I should do or tell me what you're doing to get power back from our government. Our government is meant to serve us, not us to be served to our government. That's what I think. What do you think? Put your comments down below. If you like it, thumbs up. If you don't like it, thumbs down. Let me know. Subscribe if you want more. I'm at Bill Gross Probate in social media. And as always, make today your best day ever. Thanks so much.